Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's kick off in Morocco's northwestern city of Tangier, where it's the third day of competition at the African Nations Championship Football Tournament, or CHAN. Our VOA football fans will remember CHAN is for locally based players in Africa, and they must play in their domestic leagues. In Monday's first match, Libya is playing Equatorial Guinea, and that will be followed by a game between Nigeria and Rwanda. In action over the weekend at the 2018 African Nations Championship, Zambia, Namibia, Sudan, and host Morocco all posted victories, as we hear now from reporter Samson O'Malley.
Host Morocco got their 2018 CHAN campaign off to a winning start as they defeated Mauritania 4-0 in the opening Group A match in Casablanca on Saturday night. Sudan edged out Guinea 2-1 on Sunday. The victory takes the Falcons of Gidiane to second spot on the group standings. While the national elephants are placed third on the table. In Group B, Debuton Namibia stunned Ivory Coast 1-0, while Zambia thrashed Uganda 3-1. The Ivorian Football Federation has sacked its vice president, Malik Tohe. Malik Tohe is under investigation for misconduct, and the FIF has issued a statement regarding the future of the vice president to Sidi Diallo. In a statement, the Federation's executive committee said it fired him from his position in accordance with Article 47 of the FIF. Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta has congratulated striker Michael Olunga for scoring in the Spanish La Liga after the Harambee Stars striker netted a hat-trick for Girona FC in their 6-0 thrashing of Las Palmas on Saturday. The 23-year-old Olunga, who is on loan from Chinese club Guizhou Hengfeng, also became the first Kenyan to score in the Spanish La Liga. In women's football news, Nigeria under 20 women football team, the Falconers, defeated their South African counterpart, Bassana, 2-0 at the weekend to edge closer to securing a place at the 2018 FIFA under 20 Women's World Cup in France. First half strikes from Rashidat Ajibade and Annam Imo gave the Falconers a huge first leg advantage ahead of their reverse fixture in Benin City in the fortnight. I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria.
I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to England, where Liverpool became the first club to beat Manchester City Football Club this season, hanging on for a pulsating 4-3 victory at Anfield on Sunday. The match was level at 1-1 at halftime, but Man City fell apart through a series of defensive mistakes, giving up 3 goals in the span of 9 minutes. 2 of those goals came from Liverpool's African duo of Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah in the 61st and 68th minutes, respectively. The Egyptian Salah was recently named the Confederation of African Football's 2017 Player of the Year during ceremonies in Accra, Ghana. Man City showed its fighting spirit, getting late goals from Portuguese midfielder Bernardo Silva and the German Ilkay Gundogan. But Man City's five-month, 22-match unbeaten start in England's Premier League is now over. By the way, the last team to go undefeated in the Premier League was the Gunners of Arsenal during the 2003-2004 EPL season. With the victory at home, Liverpool is now level on points with Chelsea and second place Manchester United, with all three teams 15 points behind Manchester City. Man U is hosting Stoke City on Monday evening. Now let's go to Spain's La Liga, where Barcelona has reached the halfway point of the season unbeaten and with a 9-point lead over second place Atletico Madrid. Barcelona scored a 4-2 road victory over Real Sociedad on Sunday. Barça rallied from a 2-0 deficit, getting two goals from Luis Suarez, one from Paulinho, and one from Lionel Messi. Defending champion Real Madrid faces a massive 19-point deficit with a game in hand after losing to visiting Villarreal 1-0 on Saturday. Pablo Fornals netted Villarreal's winner in the 87th minute, prompting loud boos by the home crowd. Real Madrid, the reigning European champion, has now gone four matches without a victory. Madrid's manager Zinedine Zidane says there's no explanation for the slump. He said his team had plenty of chances against Villarreal, but the ball just didn't go in the net. Zidane says his club didn't deserve the result. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, the Australian Open Tennis Tournament gets underway in Melbourne, and it was not a good opening day for American players. So please, keep on the sunny side.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
Africa, Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brilafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Oh, keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life. Oh, keep on the sunny side.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Top American tennis players did not have a good day Monday at the Australian Open in Melbourne. The year's first Grand Slam tournament got underway with seeded American players Venus Williams, Sloane Stephens, Coco Vandeweghe, John Isner, and Jack Sock all losing their first round matches. Now, Venus was seeded fifth among the women in Australia, and she lost in straight sets 6-3 and 7-5 to 20-year-old Swiss player Belinda Bencic. That defeat ensured that the Australian Open Women's Trophy won't stay in the Williams family in 2018. Our VOA tennis fans will remember Venus's younger sister, Serena, won the 2017 Australian Open ladies singles title. Serena decided not to play in Melbourne this year after giving birth to her first child. Meanwhile, Sloane Stephens, who won the 2017 U.S. Open title in New York, lost in three sets to China's Zhang Shuai. The final score from Melbourne, 2-6, 7-6, and 6-2. In men's action Monday, top-seeded Rafael Nadal of Spain got off to a good start. Rafa defeated Victor Estrella Burgos of the Dominican Republic in straight sets, 6-1, 6-1, and 6-1. The South African Kevin Anderson lost to Nadal in the final of last year's U.S. Open. Kevin Anderson, like a handful of Americans, will not have good memories of the 2018 Australian Open. Anderson lost his first round match to Britain's Kyle Edmund in five sets. The final score from Melbourne, 6-7, 6-3, 3-6, 6-3, and 6-4. In pro boxing, world heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua has an announcement for us.
I hope you're well. I want to wish you all a happy new year. I'd like to announce the official news that myself and Joseph Parker will be fighting March 31st, and the location will be in Cardiff, Wales. It's a unification heavyweight championship fight. We all know what happened last time when I was in the unification championship fight. It was grueling, it was interesting, and we both left the ring with masses of respect. These fights aren't easy because there's a lot on the line. So respect to Team Parker for taking the challenge. And you know me, I love this game. I'm looking forward to it. Training camp is underway. And before you know it, March 31st will be upon us. Stay tuned for more news and I'll see you all soon. God bless.
Anthony Joshua made his announcement in a video at his Twitter account. Once again, AJ will fight Joseph Parker of New Zealand March 31st in Cardiff, Wales, in a World Heavyweight Championship unification fight. Parker celebrated his 26th birthday last week, and he holds the World Boxing Organization's heavyweight title belt. This Wednesday, January 17th, marks what would have been the 76th birthday of boxing great Muhammad Ali, who died in 2016. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, reporter Rick Howlett tells us about the Muhammad Ali Center in the famous fighter's birthplace of Louisville, Kentucky.
It was boxing that made Muhammad Ali, born Cassius Clay, one of the world's most recognized figures. There's plenty of boxing memorabilia in the Ali Center, but everyone associated with it is quick to say that it's not a shrine to the sport or to the man. Lonnie Ali, his wife.
We realized if we were going to pursue this seriously, that it had to be something that spoke to the man in whole, that it had to be something that contributed to society, to others. It couldn't be just about Muhammad, because we never wanted that. We didn't want anything to idolize Muhammad. So what? I mean, what does that do for anybody? Nothing.
In addition to the exhibit celebrating Muhammad Ali's boxing career and the various significant events in his life, there are six pavilions. Each represents what Ali calls his core values: respect, confidence, conviction, dedication, giving, and spirituality. The opening of the Muhammad Ali Center was marked with a series of events, including a celebrity gala and fundraiser attended by notables from the worlds of sports, entertainment, and politics.
The world is a better place because of you.
Former U.S. President Bill Clinton was among those who recognized Ali's achievements.
You thrilled us as a fighter, and you inspire us even more as a force for peace and reconciliation, understanding and respect. And now you've got this center which will enshrine both your thrills and your inspiration and inspire others to follow your lead.
Visitors to the Muhammad Ali Center will see and hear details related to two major events in Ali's life that at the time drew scorn from much of the American public. One was his conversion to Islam in 1964, which prompted his name change. The other came 2 years later when he refused, on religious grounds, to be drafted into military service for the Vietnam War. As the legal battle that resulted from his draft resistance made its way through the courts, Ali would be barred from boxing professionally for 3 years until the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in his favor. Longtime boxing promoter Bob Arum points out that Ali's refusal to join the service predated the American anti-war movement.
People don't remember that the war in Vietnam was not an unpopular war when it started. It became horribly unpopular. He was considered to be a traitor to his country. And he had the courage to stand up to everybody, friends and foe, and to say that what he was doing was the right thing.
It was that event that raised Ali's profile from a pugilist to a peace advocate, according to his friend, musician James Taylor.
He really woke us up. You know, we helped America wake up by associating with his process, really. We came to know so much more about ourselves and about injustice, about just because of the magnetism of his personality and his persona. He captured us all, and we felt what he felt. You know, he was an amazing communicator of his personal experience to so many people. He's an astounding character in our cultural history and on the world stage.
And took away that slave name of Cassius Clay. Now I can go all over the world. All over the world.
As one of the most colorful sports figures in the 1960s and 70s, Muhammad Ali inspired young people around the world. That part of his legacy is showcased in a large mosaic wall made up of 5,000 small wood tiles. Children from 144 nations created the images, reflecting their hopes and dreams. In addition to the many exhibits in the center's 8,600 square meter interior, there are classrooms for community outreach programs. These include a conflict resolution curriculum for children, created with the help of the United Nations, and a variety of self-improvement courses for all ages. The new facility puts great emphasis on the power of personal development. I'm Rick Howlett in Louisville, Kentucky.
Thanks, Rick. The late Hall of Fame trainer Angelo Dundee was in the corner for Ali's greatest fights. Angelo was also a good friend of the Sunny Side of Sports, delighting our Voice of America listeners for more than a decade with his colorful and often funny commentary about Ali in particular and pro boxing in general. One of Ali's greatest victories took place on October 30th, 1974 in Kinshasa, the capital of the Democratic Republic of Congo, then known as Zaire. His eighth-round knockout of then-heavyweight champion George Foreman became known as the Rumble in the Jungle. Let's listen in now to a phone call I made to Angelo Dundee in Florida to ask him about the epic heavyweight contest.
Hello.
Hey, Angelo.
Yeah.
This is Sonny Young from Voice of America.
Yeah.
How you doing?
All right.
Angelo, reflect a little bit. What are your main memories of that fight in the former Zaire?
Well, you know, it's such an event. You know, you get there and we're the good guys. You know, right there, Ali Boumaye. And he was like a hero there. And the Zaire people are so goddamn nice. It's a shame. You know, the country's having their problems. And everybody I met there was so congenial and nice. And the fun part of it was a guy named Chimpupu Chimpupu Wa Chimpupa. He was the PR guy.
Okay.
And he'd make us go. See, we were outside of Kinshasa. We were like 45 minutes away in the government complex called Nasseli. That's where he entertained all the African nations. And we all had villas facing the Congo River. And God forbid we said Congo River. It was going to get called the Zaire River. And we used to look forward to going to the gym every day. In fact, on my off duties, I used to train lizards. It made a good hit with the newspaper guys. When they came, it was a rainy day. We didn't go to the gym. And these lizards, these big lizards, we'd be walking across like the banisters.
Right.
And I said, wait a minute, let me tell you what I did. And I said, see that lizard? I trained that sucker. Now watch, he's going to go five steps and do push-ups. No matter where you go, you got to have a sense of humor.
Angelo, did Foreman train close to Muhammad, or were they...
He trained right across the way from us. And we used to spy on him. I used to borrow Howard Bingham's telescopic lens and watch him from behind the hiding spots. We're like little kids, you know. He goes, you don't see nothing in the gym. There's nothing to check, you know. But we had fun. So this is the whole key, you know. People don't realize to excel at what you do, you got to have fun with it. And we always had fun with Muhammad every day. Every day, 19 years, I had fun, you know, so what the hell? This is what it's all about.
That's Hall of Fame boxing trainer Angelo Dundee, who died on February 1st, 2012.
In more boxing news, the Ugandan Lion Sherif Bogere will be back in the ring on January 27th when he fights Mexico's Arturo Santos in a 10-round non-title fight. Bogere is now being represented by Floyd Mayweather Jr., and it sounds like Sherif is looking forward to getting back in the ring. Originally from Uganda, Sherif has won 30 fights, lost one with 20 knockouts. His only defeat came in 2013 against Cuba's Richard Abril when he fought for the WBA World Lightweight title. Four teams remain in the running for the Super Bowl title in American-style football, including the defending champion New England Patriots. Let's take a look at the results from the weekend. On Saturday, the feathers were flying in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's where the Philadelphia Eagles clipped the wings of the Atlanta Falcons by a score of 15-10. The Patriots were winners at home. They defeated the Tennessee Titans 35-14. On Sunday, two more NFL playoff games. The Jacksonville Jaguars defeated the Pittsburgh Steelers 45-42. And in a thrilling contest, the Minnesota Vikings defeated the visiting New Orleans Saints 29-24. The Vikings won on basically the final play of the game. Minnesota quarterback Case Keenum walked off the winner after throwing a 61-yard desperation pass to Stephon Diggs. And the Vikings emerged the winner 29-24. So we now have the championship games in both the AFC, the American Football Conference, and the NFC, the National Football Conference. The Patriots will host the Jacksonville Jaguars in the AFC Championship game. And in the NFC Championship game, the Philadelphia Eagles will host the Minnesota Vikings. The winners of those two contests will advance to the Super Bowl in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So there's a chance the Vikings could possibly be hosting the Super Bowl at their home arena in Minneapolis, Minnesota, should they get by the Philadelphia Eagles. And that wraps up the January 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Misha Dubinsky. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
On January 15th, Americans honor the memory of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Dr. King, a Baptist minister from the southern state of Alabama, was a leader in the U.S. civil rights movement, advocating social change through nonviolent means. On January 15th, he would have celebrated his 86th birthday. Believing that change does not roll in on the wheels of inevitability, but comes through continuous struggle, Dr. King organized and participated in mass action boycotts, sit-ins, peaceful marches, and other nonviolent acts of civil disobedience. Dr. King once stated that an individual who breaks a law that conscience tells him is unjust and who willingly accepts the penalty of imprisonment in order to arouse the conscience of the community over its injustice is in reality expressing the highest respect for the law. And so, activists sometimes deliberately, but peacefully and respectfully, broke laws aimed at segregating the white citizenry from the non-white, thus hoping to bring attention to the inherent unfairness of such legislation. Thus, when a black seamstress named Rosa Parks broke the law in Montgomery, Alabama, by refusing to give up her seat on a bus to a white passenger, and subsequently was jailed for her transgression, her plight generated national attention and increasing sympathy for her cause across the country. Dr. King's and the civil rights movement's greatest achievements came in 1964 with the passage of the Civil Rights Act, which outlawed segregation in public places, as well as employment discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, gender, or national origin. The Civil Rights Act spawned the Voting Rights Act of 1965, which forbids racial discrimination in voting, and the 1968 Fair Housing Act, which prohibits discrimination in housing and financing for the purchase of a home based on race and national origin. Dr. King was 39 years old when he died by an assassin's bullet on April 4, 1968. But his legacy lives on. In the fullness of time, segregationist laws were repealed. Discrimination is a legally punishable and punished offense. Dr. King's life is well summed up in his own words. The quality, not the longevity of one's life, is what is important.
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali. Join me on Straight Talk Africa every Wednesday as we discuss topics of special interest to Africans, including politics, economic development, press freedom, health, social issues, and conflict resolution. Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa.
VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungany in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 1730 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts. covering Africa news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.